It is Locked On Jazz for Thursday, the 23rd of April. A live edition of the show. Come hang out with us. We'll talk about the Utah Jazz. Take your questions live. Get the latest news notes. Have our game of the day for the season as well. And also touch on some interesting chemistry items that were written about today. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it a lot more fun to be a Jazz fan. Troy Cushing is saying no sound on the live stream. Is that actually true? For everybody, let me know if that is true, and we will see what we can do to make sure that that is not the case. Maybe I just fixed it a little bit, but please let me know if that is the case, that we are having a sound issue. Thanks so much for saying hi. There's somebody who just said Jeff Hornacek joined. I doubt that's the real... Oh, it's not. But I was actually looking at Abby's stuff earlier today, his daughter on Instagram, so I thought that would have been really funny, but I doubt it. All right, hope everybody's doing great. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan for you each and every day in the midst of all of this. Each day, we try to do a few things. This week, we are taking a look at the best games of the year. We'll look at a win over the Miami Heat right before All-Star break, before we like hit the tank in some weird... funky manner. And I also try to just update you on whatever the news is on, like, from an NBA perspective. So there's a there's about like four little things that are taking place that's going on in the news world out there today. One is the NHL has kind of gone off their plan of having one site. I do think it was just too hard for them. They didn't have enough arenas. They didn't have enough spots. So they're now talking about doing four separate areas to get their games in. The NHL really desperately financially needs to get every single game in, and get, that's how they make their money. They're not as driven by some other things. So that's big on their end. We'll see what happens. Interesting study, Scott Gottlieb. If you follow him, he's on the Twitter feed I created called Locked On Sports /COVID-19. If you want to follow a pretty good kind of math, analytical, doctors only, not any garbage talk about COVID-19. There's a latest study that's come out of China. I haven't read the study. I do have the link to it. And that is about the fact that almost all of the transmission has taken place indoors and not outdoors. I don't know entirely what that means for NBA arenas or NHL arenas, contrast to baseball or football, but it's worth kind of a note in there. Just kind of put it as a checkpoint. I've said this before about all this news. If you actually read, when we got back from Oklahoma City, I took the time and just read kind of all the original stories out of China, all the back notes, all the New England Journal of Medicine, all kind of, actually a lot, there's not that much new news that's coming out right now. We're desperate for it because that's our society and we have 24-hour news cycle and we're trying to get new stuff all the time and we want new information and how it's changed. Actually, they kind of nailed it and had a pretty good idea of what's coming with some variants, right? Obviously, because it's life, not just pure math. But kind of what's happening and what's going on is what they said. And so there isn't a lot of new news day to day, to be honest. The daunting Arizona president said he just does not believe that football is going to happen. Then I went and researched the Arizona president. He happens to be a doctor with all sorts of background, like Stanford Medical School and things like that. So that I thought was a little bit of a daunting news. And then the other one that's kind of fun is like how we're going to create sports. So Tiger and Phil sound like they're coming back to doing a May event with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning as their partners and putting on, which was kind of a terrible event last time when the Bleacher Report and everybody did it and they had all sorts of technical problems. Now, I'll bet you we, like, are dying. We're dying to get it, right? We're going to watch it. Here is the most truthful comment that has been made by anyone. If you're watching on our live stream, which you can get on Locked On Live on YouTube, you can get it Locked On Live on Twitch, you can get it Locked On Live on Facebook, Locked On Sports on Periscope, and Locked On Sports on Facebook. It comes from Joshua McGrath, And it says, as you're watching the stream, your hair is almost as out of control as mine. Yes, that is certainly true, Joshua. I agree. It's not good. My wife would like me to move beyond it do something to get this thing cut, and it will probably happen here at some point. I don't know if this is gonna work, but we're gonna do our game of the day. Started off with these highlights. I know Instagram, you will not hear this. And I know on the podcast, I'll have to insert it, but maybe, just maybe, you'll hear this collection on the live stream.
Top to Nunn, driving on Gobert, hesitates, drives, ball fakes, spins around, shot blocked by Rudy. Absolutely insane defense there by Gobert to react to all those fakes. Left side, Ingles, lobs it down low to Rudy, reverse dunk. Donovan drives to the rack, floats it over out of Bayou up and in. Wow, what a shot! Donovan came left to right with a low scoop while going away from the basket. 70-69, Boyan at the top. He hurt his right wrist earlier tonight again. Left side, Clarkson, three ball. Good, the crowd rises before the ball goes through the nets because Jordan Clarkson has just been so on fire. 14 for Clarkson, 2 of 4 from 3 tonight. Quick cut by Butler, nicely defended by Clarkson. Misses on the reverse side. Jazz on the run, right to left in the city uniforms. Clarkson with a left-hand dribble. Rise, fire, three,
oh
pow!
Goodness.
Oh my, Jordan Clarkson! Fly away, Jordan! You're on fire! 11-point lead for the Jazz, the largest of the night. 106-99, 3 minutes to play. Jazz by 7. Bogdanovich flares to the corner. Catch and shoot, three. Good! And flexing, going back the other way. Jazz back up by 10. Their 13th three of the night. Bogey's got 19.
So that is my game of the day. Best wins of the year for the Utah Jazz. It's the win over the Miami Heat right before All-Star break. Capped off a stretch. We'd won 4 in a row. We'd beat Portland, Houston, Dallas, and Miami. Really, you know, Miami comes in at 35 and 18. We came in at 35 and 18 that game. So it's two of the better teams in the league. It was a slugfest. Again, we shot it very, very well. We had a great offensive night against them. And it was, again, a night that kind of showed a lot of our strength. Now, Mike did not play that night, so we showed our depth. But we had pretty good 26 from Donovan, 22 from Bogdanovich. Joe had a poor night. He went 1 of 9, but he had 9 assists. Rudy had 20 rebounds in that game, and Clarkson came off the bench for 21. This is where we're beginning to figure out who we are. And it felt, things felt really, really good at that point in time. We're 36-18. We'd won 4 in a row. Miami's a beast. And we just did a really good job on them. Bam Adebayo got stymied with a minus 23 that night with Rudy Gobert dominating him. Jimmy Butler took 21 shots to get his 25 points, didn't hit a three. Same concept of Rudy's defense. Kendrick Nunn was a non-factor and a bit wild. Gordon Dragic came off the bench for them. But otherwise, you know, that was a pretty good Miami team. They were on the midst of a road trip. You had to take advantage of them, and the Jazz did that. Fell behind early. We're down by 5 by the half, and then blasted them in the third and fourth quarter. So they were worn out a little bit. We were coming back from a trip. And we really got it rolling in that one. Off the bench predominantly, Jordan Clarkson had the 21 points, the 4 rebounds, the 3 assists. Joe, as we really came back to playing point guard, everybody, the starters were dominantly positive in that game. And, you know, that's probably the high point of the year for us. You know, the strange one was Donovan and Rudy go do their All-Star thing, and then we come back and are just awful, right? We lose to the Spurs. We lose to the Rockets, we lose to the Suns, we lose to the Celtics. We lose 4 in a row, and we get blasted right out. Shoot, at the 9-day break and us coming back together did not jive well and did not sit well for us. But we had, prior to that, you know, 3-point win over Portland, the Bogdanovich game win over Houston. We beat Dallas, which I was going to have as be, you know, one of our 5 best wins, except for that Luka didn't play. But to come back and, you know, have to win that next game, 3 games in 4 nights in 3 different cities against a Miami team who was also on the road and I, you know, had played a lot. I thought that was one of our better wins. And when you kind of work through it a little bit, we have been, you end up with a, you look deeper into that game. It's that, that second half surge kind of showed the irony. It showed the exact opposite of what we showed coming out of the break. It showed some mental fortitude. We frankly didn't show a lot of that on the backside of that. We came out of that third quarter in that game down, having been generally outplayed a little bit, and just kind of worked our way back into it. It wasn't anything too dramatic. We were down by four halfway through the quarter. Then Gobert and Donovan tie at six, make plays to tie it at 65. They get back ahead. We tied at 69. We finally surge the lead. Tony Bradley makes some nice plays. We go to the fourth quarter. It's a five-point game. Duncan Robinson hits a three, so it's a three-point game. It's a two-point game. Robinson hits another three. It's a three-point game. Jay Crowder makes some plays. It's a two-point game. I mean, we're in a tussle in this ball game, and then finally, you know, Dot, we break out a little bit. You heard some of the highlights, the fast break three from Jordan Clarkson, where he was just on fire. Joe Ingles gets his first field goal of the night at the 7:37 mark of the fourth quarter. Donovan and Bojan make plays, and finally we're up 11 with 6 minutes left, but then they fire back. They get back within seven, and then Rudy's dominant with a little bit defense late in the game, and then gets the pass from Ingles for the dunk for another assist, and the Jazz go on to win it fairly convincingly. But that's the high point of the season, unless you're going to go to what our win tomorrow will be, which is the Celtic win. That might be, you know, right before it all came to a screeching halt, we felt like we were back on track and playing really well. Today's show is brought to you by Intercap Lending. Steve Carter and the crew over at Intercap. I got a great email. I love these emails. I got an email from someone, hey, who's that lending company? And sure enough, we hooked them up, got them together with Intercap Lending, and got the connection going. So we've got another happy locked on Jazz listener. Make sure, you know, you're welcome to email me, and I'll just email you. You know, if you want the VIP treatment, we can just get you hooked up. Send me an email at dlock09@gmail.com, and we can immediately send you right over to Steve Carter. We'll hook you up straight up directly on the email if it makes you feel better and get you to them. But really, they it's been just a fabulous relationship for us to have Steve Carter and everything that he is been doing for us. He's such a kind of a spirit. I love everything about his kind of vibe and energy. He's a good guy to spend time with right now. Actually, I would guess he's pretty mellow and cool. Steve's been our loan officer. He actually was mine, and now we're just passed him over to Locked On Jazz, so I know exactly the experience you're getting. So feel free to give Steve a call, 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. Intercap Lending, they're continue to grow. They're great time right now to refi. And Steve is your direct lender, so give him a call at 385-800-8528. That's Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. We are coming to you live today. It is a live show. Feel free to jump aboard. It's time for your questions and your involvement in the show as well. Let me do that little Twitter thing where I tell people that we're still live and that we're still on, and have you jump aboard. We'll just do that right now. By the way, there's a fun little podcast festival, and then we'll take your questions right now, so please throw them up in the chat. The podcast festival is called Podapalooza. Kind of a cool event. I want to make sure you know about it. The Locked On Podcast Network will be featured at a virtual festival to raise money for COVID relief. Think of it as kind of Live Aid for podcasts. So you buy a ticket, gives you access to a special Podapalooza podcast where over 100 incredible podcasters will be showcasing their work. You get a festival schedule. New episodes will drop over the course of the weekend. Listen as they come out and save content for later. All the money goes to Give Directly, a nonprofit economic relief to families that have been hit hard by the pandemic. We've been trying to figure out what the best way to have a positive impact in light of the current crisis. So we're doing this. It's Podapalooza. It goes live this weekend, April 25th. We'll be featuring a special Locked On show with members of each of the Locked On channels about the impact on sport, a pandemic, how we come back to play, things like that. So go to podapalooza.org or go to plza.org for short. Like if you're me and you're dyslexic, there's no chance you know how to spell Potapalooza. So go to PLZA.org. Now, the chances are I'm going to reverse that too, but PLZA. PLZA.org. Tickets are pay what you can, so contribute to the effort. Hear us, maybe even discover some new podcasts. That is all over Potapalooza this weekend, going Saturday. So thanks very much. All right, let's get to your questions. Hello, Troy. Happy morning. Alex, thanks for jumping on. Austin, appreciate you. Yurgos in Athens. That's awesome. Lee, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Josh McGrath there. Silver lining of quarantine, available to tune in live on Thursdays. Andy, you have been one of the most loyal listeners. I can't appreciate you more. Landon, special hello. Hey, Morgan's on with us on Instagram. I don't even really know Morgan, but I feel like through the whole social networking world, I know Morgan. So that's kind of cool. Good morning, Twitter world, says Steve. A lot of hellos. Bluebird over on Twitch, thanks very much for saying hi. Jason, can you introduce my six-year-old kids to Ingles Kids? She asked me to ask. I love it. I love it. I want to go over to the Ingles house just so I can do those little playground things and events that Renee sets up all the time. I see on Instagram all the time. All right, let's get to the first question that everyone wants. Should I be worried about the Jazz trading Gobert? So generally, I would say no. And the reason I would say no is because we have the ability to control his financial situation, keep him on the roster, have him be with the team for a long period of time. And I can't believe that you can get the same value for him in a trade. I don't know what that trade would be. And I don't know, you know, the one that gets me nervous is I think about, like, Donovan's really good. Okay, so Donovan's great. I'm not trying to make this a Donovan Rudy, but just understand where I'm going with this. So Donovan's outstanding. And I think about the other teams in the NBA that have, like, an awesome scorer like Donovan, who's really great. And then they don't have anything else. And then they're terrible, right? Like, you know, like the Phoenix Suns have Devin Booker. Devin Booker and Donovan are pretty similar. And, like, if Phoenix had Devin Booker and Rudy Gobert, I feel like they'd be close to a playoff team. Instead, they're about, like, a 30-win team. And so, to me, I just see this incredible value in Rudy, and I get very nervous about, like, trading Rudy and adding other pieces. I don't know what you can get for him. He's kind of, we've built our roster around him in a unique manner. And two, I get nervous that we're not just, like, one of those teams with a bunch of great, like, Atlanta, Trae Young's a great scorer. Trae Young, Donovan, and they're terrible, right? Because they don't have Rudy. There's just probably a bunch, you know, Donovan put top 20 players in the NBA. You put Donovan in that group, and then a bunch of those teams aren't good. The unique thing we have is this incredible defensive force. Now, we also have one of the best offenses in the league because of the dynamic force that is Donovan. And, you know, we've built this offensive team. So, you know, we control Rudy's money. There's no question that paying Rudy 30% of the salary cap is going to be a huge burden on the franchise and something you've got to really consider and chew on and figure out whether you're willing to max him out. I was surprised when Andy Larson was on with us during the beginning of this and doing some of those interviews and suddenly, you know, made the comment that he wasn't sure whether or not he would pay Rudy that. Like, it's the first time it ever crossed my mind. You've got this guy, the league rules say that, I just pay it. Now, it's not my money and I'm probably not worried about how you're supposed to allocate the salary cap correctly. So I probably haven't actually dug into that necessarily as much as I probably should. And so, in that sense, I'm not sure we should always be worried, but it doesn't seem like, you know, we're not going to give him away and we're not going to just trade him for trading him. And he's pretty special. So I have a hard time thinking that we're going to trade him unless we get something of value. I don't know how we can do it. So we'll see. All right, let's go back to some more questions from Bluebird, dyslexic Bluebird 82. I'm getting to be pretty pessimistic on the 2019-2020 season being finished. I'm actually not. I'm actually going the other way. I think we're flattening the curve, like despite some absurd protests and some really ridiculous things I've seen out there that get a lot of news coverage because the absurdity of it all. I think we're generally doing a really, really good job. I think the more we're learning about COVID-19, we're managing it better. The more were kind of understanding, you know, who gets infected and who's bothered and how it works, I think we're doing better. And then the thing I keep bringing up on this show that I think is really important is the idea that we have time. I just don't think there's a chance that the NBA season starts for the 2021 season until late December. I just can't, unless we're going to pull the, we're not pulling the plug on this season prematurely. There's $1 billion on the line. So therefore, I don't see the scenario where I think we're starting the 2020-21 season in December. I don't know this. I haven't talked to anyone, but this is just my vibe. I probably should make some phone calls and see whether I'm crazy on this or not. And so since that's my vibe on where we're going, to me, it makes me feel as though if it gives us some time. Let's say we're starting the season December 15th. That means camp starts the Monday after Thanksgiving. That's November 30th. That the players don't need more than 2 months. So that gives us that means we could finish the season end of September. Back that up, that means we could start the season in late July and still get it done. So I'm actually optimistic still. In what form with fans, I think is unlikely. But I think I'm optimistic, actually, that the 2019-2020 season will get played at some point in time. That's kind of my vibe on where we sit on this thing. Amanda, I miss the Jazz. I do too. I get really, really emotional when I start thinking about calling a game in an arena with fans. There's a bunch of people who we used to all run out of the arena and like I'd sit in my broadcast site and we'd high five each other on the way out this year. Like, okay, we're not doing that for a while. Maybe again, like maybe Dr. Fauci's right. We're not shaking hands. But I'm with you, Amanda. I miss all of you. And I do. Mad Max 11 Utah says school is out for the rest of the semester in Nevada. It is here too. Though Las Vegas has been in the news a little bit recently. The mayor of Las Vegas seems to be making a little news. Andy says, I can't believe I'll probably watch most of the draft this weekend. I'm dying for any sports. I think we'll all be watching. Hey, the WNBA draft was up 33% from its like largest audience ever. I think we're all going to watch it. I mean, we're going to watch Tiger and Phil in like what was the worst TV event ever last year when they do their May thing with Brady, and we're going to watch that. Andy with the most telling question. Is it weird to listen to your own call? Yes, I hate it. And I'm super, super, super critical. Justin Sweeney, former Utah Jazz broadcast assistant. How are you, my friend? Love the channeling of Dave Niehaus during the Clarkson call. Fly, fly away. You know, what's funny is when I heard that this morning, when I put that together, I was like, wow, I've never said that before. I think he was doing that with his arms. I think Clarkson was kind of doing that with his arms as he went back the other way. But it is a great old Dave Niehaus call. Today's show is brought to you in part by Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street. Also located in Linden and in Logan. Amazing deals right now at Murdoch Hyundai. First off, the Murdoch Sure program is there for you with everything going on with Murdoch Sure to make sure that you're safe. It's sanitary. It's they'll bring the test drive to you to try all of those kind of items along the way to make sure that, you know, you can do all your shopping online. You can do your financing online. 0% APR on the Tucson and for 84 months on the Tucson and the Sonata, and then no payments for like 4 months. It's incredible deals going on right now at Murdoch Hyundai, located 4646 South State Street, also in Logan, also in Linden. Sounds like there's a lot of really, really bad trade ideas going on Instagram right now. I don't know what started and what fun you guys are having, but I kind of love that you're all interacting with each other right now on Instagram and doing that on the live show. And that the question, like, it does seem as though you have some super crazy trade ideas that are going on right there. We've traded Mike Conley for Steph. We've traded George Niang for LeBron James. We've traded Joe Ingles and Rudy Gobert for Alex Len. We traded Anthony Davis for Rudy Gobert. Ron Boone dunking on you or David Locke describing your outfit? Don't have any idea what that is. Couldn't the Jazz have done a better job defending Rudy while he was being blasted worldwide? It's ridiculous to claim he's touching Mike's was reckless. the mic was speaking, he was speaking into. So let's address this. First off, Rudy touching the mics wasn't smart. Let's just be honest. Like, we can defend our guy to the end of the earth, and he'll admit that. He said that. I'm not saying anything he has said. Second thing is, I think there was a total lack of knowledge of what was really the case or not the case. Third of all, on everyone's part, like, I just don't think we knew. Like, we were learning every day from Angela Dunn when we were meeting with her. Third thing, I keep hearing this narrative that the Jazz organization should have been more outspoken and said, what should have they said? Yet I haven't heard that from one person. I've heard from so many people how the Jazz should have said more and done more. What? I need to know what that is. Because I don't have any idea. I don't have any concept at all of what you think they should have said. Be nice to Rudy? Okay? Like, it's one thing to say that they should have said something, but what is it that they were supposed to say? We agree that Rudy's touching the mics was sophomoric and careless, but we want to defend Rudy and you should be nice to him. Rudy came out and made Rudy's statement. Organizations speaking for players is a really bad script. It's a really bad script. Players should speak for players. That's where we are. Organizations should speak for organizations. And the Jazz organization did all of the security and cleaning and cleanings and shut down the radio station and did everything they could to make sure that the buildings were safe and that their employees were safe. That's what organizations should do. So I don't have an answer from anyone on that next step of that, which is what should have been said. And I that to me, again, here it is. Like, say something. Okay, you guys, there has to be an answer to what something is that's actually going to be productive. And I haven't heard that. Headband Royce, I don't know if you want to speculate, but do you think the Jazz will give Rudy the Supermax? Supermax is really interesting, right? Just about everybody who's had a chance to get the Supermax has gotten traded. Right? Run through it like it's endless. Supermax is prohibitive to the well-being of building your team the whole run through. On the other end, Supermax allows you to keep your player because nobody else can give it to you. So it's a conversation that goes on between Rudy and the front office in regards to team building. As is often the case with players, you've earned something like the Supermax. Getting the Supermax is awfully important to you because it shows your value. And it shows where you are. And so in that sense, I think, you know, you have to understand that that has great pride and value that you've earned that. You do. You've like, the Supermax is really interesting because from a player standpoint, you actually earn it. You've earned the accolades to get to that point. From Instagram, could they have been more vocal about what the organization had done to inform and prepare the players to the virus? I mean, the Athletic article came out with that. All right, so this is great. These are great. I love these questions, and I love this concept. Let's talk through these things. This is where value comes at us. So could have the Jazz organization been more vocal about what the organization had done to inform and prepare the players for the virus? They could have, and then it looks like they're throwing their players under the bus. Right, so if the Jazz come out and say, you know, earlier that day, before Rudy touched all the microphones, we actually had a meeting with the head people at the University of Utah about the coronavirus and all the things to do and all the ways to deal with it. And then 30 minutes later, Rudy mocked it by touching the microphones and it's not our fault. Like, that's not going to work either. I'm not saying that's the messaging, but like, right? So let's talk through these things. Like, this is why organizations are quiet on issues like this. Because wording a statement and having a statement is not something that is is always a way that just works perfectly, right? I think that's, you know, it gets very nerve-wracking and it doesn't always, like, you know, come out right. So, right, my point on that one is we start bragging about all the information we did. Well, then you're, to some extent, throwing your players under the bus. I think we are on uncharted waters in uncharted times. And there are no playbooks on how to answer these questions. What players do you see the Jazz hoping to bring into the rotation next season? Juwan Morgan, Rajon Tucker, Mia One. I would go Juwan Morgan and Jarrell Brantley as the two most likely to get some time next year. There's a lot about Mia One I really like, and Rajon Tucker's got some unique special skills. It's probably going to really be on each of them. We're going to find out on each of them individually how much work they put in and what they do. Ryan Buckley, what are your thoughts on the rift between Donovan and Rudy? So I don't really, like, okay, there's a rift. Like, Donovan was mad he got coronavirus the day after or 2 days after on Good Morning America. Rudy has said he was careless. Donovan, you know, it's kind of, we don't actually know, right? In retrospect, we don't actually know how it all played out. So my take on this is twofold. One is, right now at this exact time, you've got young guys who are the world's greatest basketball players, two of the top 100 world's greatest basketball players, who what they do is play basketball. What they're doing right now is playing video games. They're not able to do the things that they do best. Donovan and Rudy's basis of who they are as humans probably wouldn't be, aren't best friends, right? Like, no big deal. Most guys aren't best friends. What is their togetherness? What is their connectivity that they together share brilliance on a basketball court in a common goal to beat somebody? They haven't been able to do that for over 6 weeks. They're not like Zoom conference calling each other and kumbayaing like best, like that's like not because there's anything wrong there. That's just not like most guys aren't, right? So what you have is two young guys in a really highly stressful situation with really scary circumstances that they've never experienced before in their lives, that no one's ever experienced, that no one had any idea about, that now don't have anything that's bringing them back together, because what the whole premise of what they do together is they share their brilliance on the floor. Give it time. Let them share brilliance. Let them win again together. Let them do something collectively together. Let them beat the LA Clippers in a big game where Rudy's defense stymies Kawhi Leonard and Donovan hits a bunch of big shots. Let Donovan throw a lob to Rudy for a dunk. Let Rudy outlet pass to Donovan for a fast break. And let them feel the same thing that had Donovan jumping on Rudy's back and squirting water on him at different times along the way. Right? Like, but right now, they don't have anything that ties them together with their brilliance and what they do well and their collectiveness because of the world we live in. And note to self, try not to be the lead story in a sports world that doesn't have news, because that is a really tough way to live. Let me see what else we can get. David Stone, Jordan Clarkson, can we afford him? I do think we can afford Jordan Clarkson because I think there's going to be almost no market for free agents. Right? The salary cap is probably going to go down. There weren't many teams with cap space beforehand. There weren't good teams with cap space beforehand. And so now you have even less cap space and you have just less of a market. So I do think we can afford Jordan Clarkson. You know, this is a really funny question. Can we fist bump instead of shake hands? Ron Boone and I have not shook hands with anyone for like 7 years. We like fist bump all ever since Ebola and SARS. We've always done that. This is a great question. I'm going to leave this question because I think this is a great question like for tomorrow or the next day. And I might go back and talk to DJ and some of those guys about that. After 98 finals, was there a feeling that the title chances were over for Stockton Malone, or was there still hope? It's an interesting question. The lockout hits the next year, and that just throws everything for a loop. So, you know, that's a great, great question. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Fun live show today. Maybe I'll go get all this silly stuff cut off at some point here. And then next live, by the time I do another live show, I won't have this mop on top of my head. And we'll see what happens. Thanks, you guys, for tuning in. I super appreciate it. Murdoch Hundings, Intercap Lending, Potapalooza. Thank you for supporting the show. Actually, Potapalooza, we're supporting them, but you should do that. Let's keep doing this. We'll do them next Thursday as well. Have a great day. See you.